WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, Philadelphia, let's get it going. It is indeed Kale and Company live here on this Monday, December the 5th. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're always streaming live on the Odyssey app. We're with you for the next 4 hours as we take you up until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. You can get involved and be a part of the show on social media. The radio station at 1210 WPHT. You can get me at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stensland with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. And Anthony DiRenzo is the associate producer.
I'm the boss.
Greg is the boss.
I'm the boss.
Darn right. And by the way, Anthony DiRenzo totally startling me this morning. He was logging into his computer, and I looked over, and he shaved the entire beard.
No.
He is completely beardless on a 24-degree morning.
Yeah.
Naked face.
Not right, man.
He's got
not
naked
right.
baby face.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
It's wrong.
I am only allowed twice a year to shave my beard, according to my wife, because she says I look... Well, I can't say it on the radio, but it's not a better visual.
Please.
Do you look like a male appendage?
Yeah, but basically, yes. Back in the day, I could pull it off when I had hair and put product in the hair. These days, as a bald baron, no.
Dawn, you know what we're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Dawn knows. Dawn knows all. How's everybody doing? How's everybody's weekend?
Awesome.
Too short.
Yeah. They always are, aren't they? They really are.
Yeah.
All right. It's freezing out, but we'll try to fire you up here over the next 4 hours. We got a lot to get to. I mean, my goodness, did all heck break loose on Friday evening with Elon Musk and his Twitter release and the report of everything that went down during the 2020 election and what was suppressed. We got so much to delve into with that. Also, we got some COVID hysteria madness and also another interesting report as to the origins of COVID-19. Eagles got a big win yesterday, and we've got all sorts of goodies along the way. But before we get to all of that, 6:05 here on a Monday morning, we say good morning to Dawn Stensland, who is standing by with the 6 o'clock news.
And good morning. Yes, 28 degrees, some frozen spots on the roadways as you make your way in this morning. So a word of warning about that. This Monday morning, December 5th, 20 days to Christmas, we count down. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon sponsors Kale and Company News Live, the 6 a.m. edition. We do have breaking news this morning. With Pennsylvania State Police called to a Delaware County, Pennsylvania home early this morning for an investigation. Troopers responding to Turner Lane between Junction Road and Siegel Drive. This is Middletown Township. Right now, it's not clear why State Police were called to this home, why they're doing this search, but Pennsylvania State Police called to that Delco home this morning. So following that one, Philadelphia's elected prosecutor asking a state court to halt a Republican-led effort to remove him from office. This is one district attorney, Larry Krasner, yes, a Democrat, and he's hoping the Commonwealth Court declares that the General Assembly actually lacks the constitutional authority to remove local officials like him as opposed to state officials, and that the claims against him do not amount to, quote, misbehavior in office required for impeachment. So D.A. Larry Krasner trying to stop the so-called hashtag impeach Krasner due to the skyrocketing crime and homicide rates in Philadelphia. And so he's arguing the process ended when the legislature's two-year session ran out earlier last week on the 30th. That's his argument to the court. So
basically, he's going to go out kicking and screaming like a little
exactly.
five-year-old. Exactly. Interesting.
Yes. And we also have, moving forward, we'll talk about the water supply here. Philadelphia's water supply is one of the few in the nation in a pilot program of sorts. Our water is being, our wastewater is being tested for polio due to the fact that polio is no longer eradicated.
Oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
I know. So now our wastewater being, yeah. So that's from the Philadelphia Health Department this morning. We are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, the secret to finishing your holiday shopping. Three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com. Of course, nationally, for us, the big story, Republicans still reacting to that historic news, really, on Friday that Nikhil referred to as far as Twitter and the revelations of the Biden campaign and what was done allegedly with Twitter and to silence the news media. And as well, the great news for our Philadelphia Eagles, 35-10, shutting down the Titans and shutting up everybody who said they were a more physical team, whatever.
Yeah, how about that to all my old Nashville friends? Head back down to Tennessee and take that loss.
Yeah. So we got her done. The T-Mobile Weather Center forecast, obviously, is a chilly one. We're still in the 20s this morning, and we do have breaking news right now as I speak with more migrants. I believe this is the sixth bus of migrants arriving right now, 30th Street Station in Philadelphia. So that bus just pulled up in Philadelphia, and what a chilly morning it is for folks coming from warmer weather in Texas here where it's 27, 28 degrees. We will warm up to 50 degrees, bright sunshine, warmer weather in store moving forward, mid-50s tomorrow, 60s by Wednesday. However, tomorrow the rain and the clouds move in. This is Monday Morning Edition, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn with the news. Thank you very much, Dawn. 855-839-1210 is the phone number to be a part of the show here on a Monday edition of Kale & Company, 610. And it's time for another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, so today, we will call today's Big Take Musk the Revealer, as it all went down Friday evening around 3:48 p.m. in the afternoon. We got a tweet from Elon Musk that said, "What really happened with the Hunter Biden story suppression by Twitter will be published on Twitter at 5 p.m. Eastern today," to which I then saw Rich Zeoli doing his show saying, "We'll bring it to you live on 1210 WPHT. Make sure you tune in." So I immediately saw this and I had two lines of thinking and two lines of thought with Elon and his 5 p.m. findings announcement. I thought, one, it's either going to be a total dud and it's a Friday 5 p.m. news dump, or it's going to be super juicy and has to come out as soon as possible, even though it's at 5 o'clock on a Friday, and most people that work a normal day job, you know, the first shift, are checking out for the weekend. And I would say it was the latter of the two, even to the point where we had guys like Donald Trump Jr. saying the Twitter dossier is an hour and 30 minutes late. In unrelated news, has anyone seen Hillary Clinton? Hope Elon Musk is okay. But finally, around 6:44 on Friday night, here we go. Elon tweeting out the popcorn gifts. Get your popcorn ready. Let's get down to business. And a guy that works for him, Matt Taibbi, put out a long, and I mean a long and arduous Twitter thread, much to the chagrin of a lot of people with the attention span of salad dressing that were like, can we just get to the point already? But there was a lot to take away from this. And my earliest biggest takeaway is that, you know, the woke liberals who ran Twitter suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story via DM circulation. So DMs, your direct messages, on the same equivalent level of trying to share child pornography, as noted in a thread from Matt Taibbi. And he was numbering these, you know, 1, 5, 10, 12, 18. And number 18 is exactly what I'm talking about. As Matt Taibbi says, Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it might be, quote, unsafe. They even blocked its transmission via direct message, a tool reserved for extreme cases such as child pornography. Those were the levels that social media and the government colluded together to suppress information from the American public. And as this is coming out, and I'm tweeting about it in real time, I found it ironic that many of my blue check woke liberal friends and former colleagues were staying hush on this site when their party and their side of the spectrum gets exposed for their BS. I absolutely love it. You know, it's funny how many times I'm told on Twitter by those who still think I do sports when I tweet politics and they say, oh, stick to sports. I didn't really seem to hear any of those stick to sports commentaries on Friday night. You can't really come at me when you take an L, can you? And I've always thought voting in politics is a lot like betting on sports. If you vote and bet with your head and not with your heart and feelings, you're probably on the right side. And once you see that, you do that and you pull the trigger, you never have to feel bad or explain yourself ever again. It's about a bottom line. Now look, with some of these stories these days over the last couple of years on social media, you scratch your head, you raise an eyebrow or two, right? Are conspiracy theories BS? Well, some of them are. But what about the ones that eventually are revealed to be true? What about the ones that were labeled disinformation or misinformation and end up being factually proven as correct? See, it's easy to badger someone as a conspiracy theorist. It's a toxic label. But when that person has merit to their claims and are proven right, what then? I'll sit back and wait. See, I'm not one of these guys who screams elections are stolen. I'm not an election denier in capital letters. I might not even be one of these guys who says they're rigged in all caps. But make no mistake about it. The system is slanted heavily in one direction, which leads to an uphill battle and an unfair fight. But if you think everything is on the up and up, then you are completely clueless. And why is everything slanted? Money. Lots and lots of money. And money corrupts. Money is evil. Would the 2020 election results have been different if the Hunter Biden story was made widely available? I absolutely think it would be. Does it change the outcome? Not sure. I can't prove that. But here's what I know and here's what I'm sure of. The American people deserve to know everything and have all of the information made public and available to them to make an informed decision when it comes to who they're voting for. Would it change people's opinions and sway their vote? Yeah, perhaps. We truly don't know, but it's fair to assume. And it's no different in any other walk of life. Purchasing a home, buying a vehicle, or any other decision, you should have all the possible information available to you. The American people were denied this by big tech and the United States government. And that is what makes it completely unacceptable and total BS. The fear of failure is real, and the lengths to which the establishment will go is cutthroat to ensure victory. And yes, it's just Twitter, but think about the trickle-down ripple effect. It's not shared on Twitter. It can't be posted on Facebook. It doesn't get to go to other platforms. You don't send it via a text, via email, or even in person. You stifle the transmission of a controversy that is unquantifiable. And kudos to Elon Musk. He is using $44 billion of his own money to help expose collusion between media, big tech, and deep state criminals. And those are the Twitter files. And then yesterday, Elon Musk suggests that labeling certain corporate media outlets as state-sponsored media. Elon Musk doing great work. And then you have a guy named Kyle Griffin, who writes for the New York Times, who tweeted on October the 14th of 2020, no one should link or share the New York Post report. You can discuss the obvious flaws and the unanswerable questions in the report without amplifying what appears to be disinformation. Oh, thank you, Kyle, for telling me what I can or can't do with what ultimately proved to be facts. How about this, Kyle? How about you go cancel yourself? We all knew it, but Elon Musk confirmed it this weekend. Republicans aren't facing Democrats. We're not fighting the left. We're fighting Democrats, the government, big tech, legacy media, social media, and woke corporations. It's the most lopsided political battle of all time. That's why Fox News, conservative talk radio, 1210 WPHT, and the new Twitter are so vital to balancing out the ledger. And think about this. Democrats barely winning with all of that in their favor, whereas any GOP victory should be even more amplified, considering the numbers game. And that is the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, if you guys want to jump in on the big bombshell of the weekend, 855-839-1210 is the phone number, 855-839-1210 to jump in here on Kale and Company. But, of course, it's December the 5th, and you know what that means, guys and gals. I mean, it's December. It means holiday shopping. And for me, let's just say I'm not the deep think, give a gift from the heart type as much as I am the where can I get a quick gift card type. I'm just trying to get in and out and on my way, make sure everybody's happy. So I refer to it as gift card season, and I know exactly where to go. It's at Wawa. Wawa is my one-stop shop for all gift cards, from Wawa gift cards, Wawa's e-gift cards, or a gift card from your favorite brand. Wawa has a gift card for anyone on your list, so stop in and get a Wawa gift card for someone special, like a coworker, except for somebody like Anthony Dorenzo, your mail carrier, a landscaper, a trash collector. Are you trying to figure out how to spread some holiday cheer to your babysitter or maybe even your child's teacher? Well, then think no more. Wawa to the rescue. You can even pick up a card from your favorite brands like Amazon, Google, Sony, or Microsoft, and you can be in and out in a jiff. Since the cards are conveniently available on a rack at the register, you're in and you're out in no time. Just as convenient, the amount started just $10, so you can really check off a lot of people off of that ever-growing shopping list. So stop in and get a Wawa gift card today. It's a great gift for anyone on your list.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Looking ahead to next Sunday, the Eagles take on the New York Giants. 1 o'clock game. Looks like the Eagles right now are favored by 6.5. I would take that and then some for next week. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is sign up right now using my promo code Greg. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at an even bigger payout with the same game parlay. And with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started, and you get paid your winnings fast. I love the FanDuel app. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up right now using my promo code Greg for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code Greg. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and he's the official partner of 1210 WPHT, 21 and over, president of PA. First online real money wager only. Refund issues, non-withdrawal free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
624, it's Kale and Company live here on this Monday, December the 5th. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Great to have all of you aboard. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend as we get another week started in the frigid temperatures of December. 855-839-1210 to be a part of the show. If you missed the big take, the video will be up later today on Instagram at 1210WPHT. I'm sure you guys saw this either in real time Friday evening, or if you have a life, you didn't, and you probably caught up over it the weekend. But Dawn, Greg, your initial reaction as that bombshell was dropped around supper time on a Friday night.
It was still developing throughout the night.
I know.
Because he was, as you said, he was late. And so I thought, well, okay, I know it was on, you know, Laura Ingraham was still talking about it with a great panel Friday night and then into the weekend. And I thought, oh, well, for sure, all the Sunday morning shows, it'll be interesting to see how they follow up on this.
Or cover it at all.
Or, so to me, you know, just looking at the media coverage or lack thereof, this morning, I think many people tuning in to their favorite, especially local stations, you wouldn't even know what happened Friday night.
No. I think as of some point yesterday, we were at 36 to almost 42 hours where the New York Times did not address it. I mean, it was as if the story never unfolded.
Yes.
And so I never want to hear another human being try to tell me mainstream media isn't totally slanted, completely corrupt, and agenda-driven. And it was amazing. Of all the tweets I put out between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on this story, not once did I get any pushback from a single individual trying to refute anything, say it's an overreaction, or anything to that effect. It was radio silence from anybody that is not a conservative.
Yeah, two things on this. I think, one, my opinion is that I like that Elon Musk is doing this. I wish more companies would be transparent with stuff like this. And I think he's doing the right thing by releasing these emails. But in our world, it's big news. To Dawn's point, to your point, in regular mainstream America, nobody had any idea what's happening. Because, you know, again, we talk about this all the time. Twitter's not real life.
Right.
You know, there's very, very few people on Twitter. So while he's doing a service to the people who are on Twitter and to people who eat this stuff up like we do, it's just not resonating with the public, and it never will.
Now, I know you're making a totally valid point, and I'm not disputing what you're saying, but let me play devil's advocate with the Twitter's not real life concept, because this actually will lead into the next stuff with Elon, Twitter, and hate speech. If Twitter is not real life when it comes to, you know, the suppression of a Hunter Biden laptop story, well, then why does the left and mainstream media love to run with the storylines and the headlines on the telecast each day about hate speech on Twitter?
Well put. And why do they care about Trump's tweets?
Right. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say Twitter's not real life when it comes to Hunter Biden's laptop story and then scream from a 10,000-foot rooftop about racism and hate speech on Twitter. Either Twitter's real or it's not. And you can't selectively choose a la carte as to what you want to talk about.
I agree with what you're saying, but it's two different things. One is, you know, the really hardcore conservatives are on Twitter. The really hardcore liberals are on Twitter. The really hardcore liberals are ignoring this. Yes, 100%.
Yep.
But the middle America, the mainstream of America that just lives their lives every day. I'm sure a lot of people listening right now at 6:30 in the morning, going to work, don't have Twitter, don't know the days and, you know, day in and day out things that happen on Twitter.
Right.
That's the people that it's not reaching. And that's the people that stories like this need to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Kevin, that's why Kevin McCarthy, you know, and I believe over the weekend he's saying, and today he's saying more, that Republicans vow, when the new session comes in, that they will be looking into this. Because why? It was a presidential campaign allegedly influencing and having a direct line to, it is a major media outlet, and suppressing and oppressing,
mm-hmm.
you know, the truth and stories in a campaign, you know, manipulating such as that. So
yeah.
It's not about Hunter Biden's laptop at this point. What was the campaign doing? And then on top of that, what were these FBI officials and other DOJ and other federal officials, what was their role?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're hearing that
they were meeting once a week with the government over this, and also with social media.
So if you're a campaign, because some people might go, yeah, we're a campaign, we did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I mean, did they break any laws? But I think certainly if you're on the payroll and you're an FBI agent or bureaucrat paid by the federal government, and you're heavily involved in this,
right,
influencing an election, is that not a threat to democracy?
Yeah. I mean, it's suppression of information to the American public. And look, you know, if you are on the far left, you're probably still going to vote for Joe Biden, even if you came across this Hunter Biden laptop story. If you're on the far right, if you're a conservative, well, you were never voting for Joe Biden in the first place anyway. But for the middle ground, for the independents, for the moderates, for maybe a moderate Democrat, you know, maybe that's going to be the thing that tips the scale in the other direction, which obviously has an impact on the bottom line results of a presidential election. So we'll take your thoughts. If you guys want to jump in, 855-839-1210 is the phone number. The New York Times putting out a piece over the weekend about the level of hate speech on the rise on Twitter since Elon Musk took over, to which Elon Musk said, utterly false. We will give you what the New York Times, according to research groups, are reporting and what stats they have. And then Elon Musk said, you know what? No, I'm going to put out a picture and a graphic of the impressions of hate speech on Twitter and show you just how minuscule they really are. Hate speech wars continue when we continue. It's Kale and Company live here on a Monday. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, don't go through yet another year with that knee pain or your back pain. People with chronic joint pain are getting real, lasting relief from QC Kinetics. Yeah, QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in advanced regenerative medicine. Their unique protocols use healing agents from your own body to target those aching joints, repairing and actually restoring your damaged tissue so that you can move again. No surgery, no drugs, no downtime. So if you have shoulder pain, for example, just excruciating hip pain, if you have any arthritis pain or lingering pain from an injury in your past, don't let them, you know, operate on you or give you more steroids yet. Just go to QC Kinetics so that you can actually get that consultation, a free consultation. What have you got to lose? And they are life-changing, all-natural treatments that get you living your life again. How does that sound? Especially with the holidays and New Year's upon us. I'm telling you, people are just raving about these treatments with QC Kinetics. And this is the future of joint pain management, and appointments are available as soon as the next week. So make 2023, as we move into the holidays and next year, you know, you can say goodbye to joint pain. Call QC Kinetics for your free consultation. Do this for you and do this for your loved ones too. 215-999-3000, 215-999-3000, QC Kinetics, 215-999-3000.
Kale and Company on a Monday morning. Great to have all of you aboard. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Nick Hale, Greg Stocker, Dawn Stensland, Anthony Dorenzo. 855-839-1210. We could be seeing a major comeback in Philadelphia. It's not a person, but it's the payphone.
What?
Is the payphone making a comeback?
Do we need payphones?
I mean, I'm not anti-payphone, to be honest. Used to love that little thing back in the day where you drop the coins in and you pick up that big receiver.
Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. There's graffiti in there, trash.
Homeless people urinating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the glory days.
Payphone equity in Philadelphia.
Exactly right. On street corners near you, possibly again. Those details coming up in just a little bit. And also, I thought some really interesting and good advice as I was watching a little Fox News Friday afternoon from one member of the Bush administration from years back. So we'll give you those details coming up in just a little bit. But I do want to start with two things here. One on hate speech, the other on COVID. So on Saturday, this will be Friday, December the 2nd, the New York Times says they were, you know, of course, just totally going to gloss over the entire weekend of Elon Musk and his Twitter reveal of the Hunter Biden laptop story. They were busy with their agenda of putting out the following breaking news. Hate speech on Twitter has jumped since Elon Musk took over, researchers found. Quote, Musk sent up the bat signal to every kind of racist, misogynist, and homophobe that Twitter was open for business, the head of one of the research groups said. Yeah, he legitimately was given the bat signal. Like, he's on top of a building. Commissioner Gordon came by and said, we gave him the signal. Flyer it up so you can see it into the sky. It means it's a green light. Just go 24/7. Tweet out all your hate. But before Elon Musk bought Twitter, slurs against black Americans showed up on the social media service an average of 1,282 times a day. After the billionaire became Twitter's owner, they jumped to just under 3,900 times a day. So about a three-time increase, according to the New York Times. Slurs against gay men appeared on Twitter 2,500 times a day on average before Musk. Afterwards, they rose to 3,964 times a day. Now, one is too many. I mean, nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to hear it. But you're the New York Times, and you've gone from, in regards to slurs against gay individuals, from 2,500 a day to 3,900 a day. And yet they're running with this like it's breaking news, like it's gone from 2,500 to 25,000. It's an overreach, and once again, it's an agenda from the New York Times. And Elon Musk tweets out in response to this in regards to it just going nuts. He says, utterly false. And then Elon Musk, on December the 2nd, tweets out an impression chart, and he says the following. Hate speech impressions, number of times a tweet was viewed, continue to decline despite significant user growth. And he tags Twitter Safety in this tweet, saying that they will publish this data on a weekly basis. Freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom of reach. Negativity should and will get less reach than positivity. Elon goes on to say, and you can see the graphic, it's on his Twitter feed, at Elon Musk, if you care to look at it. And he wraps it up by saying there are about 500 million tweets per day and billions of impressions. So hate speech impressions are less than 0.1% of what is seen on Twitter. I mean, let's think about that. 500 million tweets in a day.
Yeah.
And there were 3,900 anti-gay tweets and 3,800 racial tweets. That's a pretty low rate when you consider there's 500 million tweets being cranked out a day.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, out of half a billion.
You know, again, you don't want to see it, and I don't come across it. I don't tend to see this stuff, but I'm assuming it's true. It does exist out there. But we're talking about such a minuscule. It's amazing the way we want to magnify minuscule percentages when it fits our agenda, doesn't it?
And it's almost like you would, with that percentage, you would almost have to search it out to find it. You know what I mean?
You would almost have to go out of your way to come across it.
Yes. Correct. So if you're one of those, you know, minorities that are affected by such racial slurs or gay slurs, you know, obviously it's horrible and you don't want to see it, but like you would. It's the ratio is really low that you would come across that just scrolling through Twitter.
I mean, they're making it sound, and I say they, the New York Times, like you open up your Twitter app and you see, okay, Eagles make a trade, racial tweet, COVID's on the rise, anti-gay tweet. My timeline's just flooded with just, you know, derogatory comments.
I've literally, other than, you know, getting a S ton of new followers, like I have literally noticed no difference in Twitter.
None
whatsoever.
None.
And I'm somebody who's on it probably more than I should be because of my job.
Yes. I just got my weekly summary report on my iPhone yesterday.
No, don't
for
don't
the usage.
Look, yeah, don't even look at that.
5 hours and 21 minutes a day of screen time on my phone.
Nick,
I need help.
Don, can we send an SOS out to his family?
I know. Please.
Can we get a bat signal for that?
When are they moving here? It's 20 days to Christmas Day.
Well, they'll be up here December 17th.
Okay.
And, for the holiday break.
And they're going to stay throughout Christmas.
Yes, through
New
January
Year's.
1.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, I said New Year's. New Year.
Oh, is it? Oh, we're taking off the S now.
That's a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not like an RBI versus RBIs guy when it comes to baseball, are you?
It's RBI, yeah.
It's RBI?
Yeah.
For years, we've been saying RBIs.
Yeah, I know.
Even though that's wrong. Yep. It's not runs batted inses. It's runs batted in. Yeah, exactly. But we've been saying ribbies.
Yeah.
For all the baseball people out
there. Well, on Saturday night, as I was winding down my evening with my wife and a glass of wine, I was discussing with her how, like, I feel bad because your family's not up here.
Right.
And, like, you don't get that, you know, you're by yourself in your apartment.
Yeah, I'm gambling on college football like a madman. Like, I can't put down the phone.
In January, we're not going to have an intervention for you, are we, pal?
No. Well, football season will be over by then, so I'll be, you know, have more time to focus on the things that truly matter in this life.
Okay.
So now you're drinking a little wine on a Saturday night. Red, white?
Nice.
Red has nothing. I didn't want to be this to be about me. I actually want this to be about you and that we need your family up here.
Well, wait a minute. Was Stalker feeling bad for Nick Cale in a really cool, beautiful apartment condo complex?
Uh-huh.
You know, football, whatever you want. Were you feeling bad for Nick Cale?
Was I envious?
Yes, exactly.
Wakes up in this plush little condo.
You know?
He's in his underwear gambling.
He's not going to get up. He's not going to have to get up at 7 in the morning with a 2.5-year-old screaming.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was pity or envy.
Thank you, Dawn. Dawn stands under the rescue, folks. Beautiful thing. Yeah. All right. One other thing with the New York Times. How about this? The audacity of these individuals. Yeah, after they got done cranking out all their hate speech impressions for Elon Musk, the New York Times announced Friday that it hit its breaking point and co-workers, colleagues, and writers and employees of the once great newspaper are prepared to unleash the wrath of 1,000 libs on management in the form of a 24-hour walkout on December the 8th. So, to my knowledge, that is on Thursday, if New York Times employees' contract demands are not met. How about this? They're going to literally walk out if they do not get new deals. I thought this was a pretty interesting story. This was on Outkick.com. The Times Guild and management have been apparently fighting over a new contract for approximately 20 months, and they've arrived at a pivotal moment for workers who refuse to return to the office 3 days a week as directed by the company. In September, 1,300 workers signed a pledge not to return to the office. This is a lot like Twitter in the regards of, you know, Elon Musk saying, hey, COVID's over. Yeah. Get your butt back in here, or there's going to be repercussions. And now some of these employees for the New York Times want to play hardball because it's easier just to sit at home and write out agenda-driven hit pieces from your dining room.
So they want them to come back 3 days a week.
Yes, and that's too much to ask
and
for.
And they're going to, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, can you imagine somebody driving to work right now who's, you know, a roofer, they hear this story about the New York Times, like, oh, we don't want to come back three days a week.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Yep. That's why you have a disconnect in society.
And they're writing about, to your point, Nick, society.
Yeah.
And they don't experience it themselves.
No, they don't come out of their house.
It's unbelievable.
They don't leave their basement.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're going to tell me how to live my life. Okay.
Yeah, that newspaper's definitely out of touch.
They're dead. Gale and Company live here on a Monday, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All right, so to COVID we go, and there's a couple of stories making the rounds today and over the weekend. A scientist who worked at the Wuhan lab says that COVID was, in fact, a man-made virus. A scientist who worked at the controversial research lab in China has claimed that COVID was a man-made virus that leaked from the facility. That, according to a report, Andrew Huff, who worked for a New York-based nonprofit that studied viruses, said COVID leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China 2+ years ago and blamed authorities for what he is calling, quote, how about this, the biggest U.S. intelligence failure since 9/11. Britain's The Sun reported on Saturday. He goes on to say that the lab has been at the center of fierce debates about the origins of COVID, with both Chinese government officials and lab personnel denying that the virus leaked from the facility. Huff, an epidemiologist, says in his new book, and anytime I hear in his new book, you know, I always, you know, I take it for what it's worth, even though I have my beliefs that this thing probably was man-made. But the guy is writing a book. He says, quote, the book is called The Truth About Wuhan, that the pandemic was the result of the United States government's funding of coronaviruses in China. Again, his name is Andrew Huff, and he is a scientist, and he is an epidemiologist. He said that China's gain-of-function experiments were carried out with lax security, which led to a leak at the Wuhan lab. Foreign laboratories did not have the, quote, adequate control measures in place for ensuring proper biosafety, biosecurity, and risk management, ultimately resulting in the lab leak at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, he said in his book, which was exclusively excerpted in the newspaper. So there you have a firsthand account from a man who is saying, yeah, COVID, Wuhan, gain-of-function research, the United States, China, man-made. There's your bullet points in a nutshell. I got to tell you, this was a rough couple of days for those on the left. You know, Hunter Biden's laptop is disinformation. The New York Times doesn't want to talk about it. COVID just jumped from bats to humans at the wet market. Uh-huh.
But we played that clip last week of Fauci who said he was, he's almost certain that it didn't come from a lab. So
right.
There's that.
Right. Well, I'm going to remain open-minded in my final days as the head of the NIH, and yeah, it's possible, but highly unlikely. Okay. Keep messing around with that gain of... This is what happens. These scientists just keep messing around with too much.
Do you guys think we're ever going to find out the truth?
Yes. Truth always comes out.
Do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I do. I think the truth... Because the truth wants to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I do. So I think it will come out. It just depends on when.
Why are the JFK files so
You just took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, like, it's the you know, we've been, when did that happen? 1963? We still don't really know what happened. I mean.
Yeah, why, what are they hiding 60 know. Years later?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at all these things over the course of, I mean, God, you're going back 37, 20, 59 years ago.
Yep.
JFK.
Yep.
And every century, or not every century, every decade, there's things where, you know, if you think everything's on the up and up, God bless you.
Saudi Arabia's role in 9/11. Like, mm-hmm. There's a ton of stuff that we're never going to really know the answer to.
But if you question any of it, then you're a crazy guy.
And I'm wondering if, like, 20 years from now, they're going to be discussing declassifying the, you know, the Wuhan COVID leak lab.
It's funny you say that.
Files.
I tweeted that on Saturday at 5:30. I said, I'm just waiting for the day when we find out the truth behind the Biden administration pressuring Twitter to censor users for spreading, quote, COVID-19 misinformation.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Because each and every day, Nick, they're like Donald's saying, like, drips and drabs come out of more information. And, you know, now all of a sudden, yeah, this guy's selling a book, but now all of a sudden, you know, this guy's talking, and then all of a sudden that guy's going to start talking, and then these stories match up, and then, mm-hmm. you know, you get to see, you know, they're painting a more clear picture of what actually happened.
Yep. There's something about the universe, I don't know what it is, where the truth just always seems to find its way to the surface, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, I can't explain it, but it does. Speaking of things you can't explain, how about the city of Los Angeles? I mean, just in general, not the story I'm talking about, just the city of Los Angeles in general. But L.A. County says, you know what? We are set to reinstate indoor mask mandates as COVID surges. Yes. Yeah. And before I get to this story, I look forward to the day when Gavin Newsom runs against my man from Florida and he gets smashed in a political election. I can't wait for it. But here we go again. Los Angeles County set to reinstate indoor mask mandates as COVID-19 infections and related hospital admissions continue to surge. According to the county's public health director, Barbara Ferrer, said on Thursday evening, quote, there is the common line of thinking that the pandemic is over and COVID is no longer of concern, but these numbers clearly demonstrate that COVID is still with us. The county now averages more than, get this, get ready for this, guys, 2,700 new COVID infections per day.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. In a city of, what, 11 million people, 9 million people, 2,700 infections a day.
You have the same rate of seeing
hate speech
on Twitter than you do as getting COVID in Los Angeles.
Staggering. But it is up 180% since November the 1st. Virus-related admissions are now at 192 per day, a 200% increase from the same date. So, yeah, I figured all those people in Los Angeles County that were triple vax, quadruple boosted, double masked, hazmat suit wearing the same thing Kanye West wears when he's on Alex Jones' InfoWars show. I thought they were protected. I guess they were wrong. So COVID on the rise again. So L.A. doing their thing. And then you get this as we wrap up the first hour here. We told you that originally, and you heard this in the news, COVID, and we got to the point where it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And then it became a pandemic of the vaccinated. Now it's a pandemic of the boosted. So we can no longer say this is a pandemic of the unvaxxed. CDC data indicates that vaccinated and boosted people together are making up a majority of the COVID-19 deaths. Not the COVID-19 cases, the COVID-19 deaths. The KFF, the Kaiser Family Foundation, a nonprofit that focuses on healthcare issues affecting the nation, issued a report this past week analyzing recent CDC data, and they came to the report and the conclusion that the share of COVID-19 deaths among those who are vaccinated has risen. They go on to say in the fall of 2021, about 3 in 10 adults dying of COVID were vaxxed or boosted, but the latest data now shows that about 6 in 10 adults dying of COVID-19 were vaccinated or boosted. That according to the latest data from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And that is according to the latest data that they have on this, which goes back to April of 2022. So you go from the fall of 2021, 3 in 10 people, to the spring of 22, and you have 6 of 10 people. I don't know what it is. I don't know that it's a vaccine, folks. I'm not really sure what exactly this COVID shot and this booster is, because I was always under the impression that vaccinations have a much higher efficacy rate than whatever it is that Pfizer and these pharmaceutical companies are rolling out. But hey, you do you. I'm not a scientist. I just look at the facts and give an opinion.
Can I read one tweet here before we get a break? Because they're calling me out, so I wanted to...
When they call you out, you can always go to it.
John Will says, Greg, downplaying what happened on Twitter in the elections is disgusting, and though it appears to be naive, I think it's not because Fox has its tentacles in you and your station. I have no idea what that last part means, but I'm not down...
We don't have anything to do with Fox.
I'm not downplaying what happened on Twitter. I'm just saying that I don't think it resonates with the everyday person.
And the tweet makes no sense to begin with, because he says you're, quote, downplaying it, and Fox has their... I mean, first of all, we have nothing to do with Fox News. And secondly, if we...
Is he saying Fox News did downplay it too?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Fox News downplayed it.
I don't know. I just want to address the first part, because I have no idea what the second part means.
Okay. Yeah, because like Laura, I didn't watch Fox during the week because we had a crazy weekend, but Friday... Fox was crazy with it. Laura Ingraham had like Molly Hemingway and all these, an amazing all-star panel. They were all over it Friday night, and that's late.
And our station was all over it over the, starting from Rich Friday night all weekend when we had Opelka, and now we're going to be all over it today. So it's not like we're downplaying it. I'm just saying that it's a big deal in our world. I don't know if it's going to resonate to middle America and everyday people.
True. There you go. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, you can do so also on social media at 1210 WPHD. That's the radio station for Twitter and Instagram. You can get me at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn's got some news when we come back. We'll get to the Krasner latest. And also, don't call it a comeback. We might see him again in Philadelphia. The details on the way. It's Kale and Company Hour 2 coming up next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.